mountain shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service today. That's a great hymn that we've just been enjoying together, and we come to our time of worship. And my name's Andrew. I'm part of the team here at Bethesda, and this morning I'm joined by Guy. How are you today, Guy?
Andrew, I'm very well, thank you. As you can see behind my shoulder, we have the arrival of snow today. So, very, very Advent scene.
It's a wintry scene.
Advent. Yeah.
The wintry scene, as you say, and it's coming into Advent, approach of Christmas.
Yeah.
It's lying on the ground this morning. I don't know what it'll be like when we come to actually put the service out, but there we are. This is real time at the moment.
Real time. Yeah. Friday it's snowing. So there we go. Yeah.
And we're leading into Advent, but we're also continuing with our themes, I think, with the fruit of the Spirit.
We are. We are indeed. And we're in the fruit of faithfulness today, which has been it's been a good thing to think through. And so I've got a question for you. Here we go. Ping this on you. Give me, I was going to say 10, but give me examples of Christian faithfulness in our lives. Actually, if you do this really well, that'll help my sermon later on. So,
Christian faithfulness. Well,
faithfulness in life. Give me some examples.
Right, can I start out with faithfulness first of all?
Yep.
Okay, I remember some years ago being in Edinburgh and seeing a statue of a dog.
Right.
And it was called Greyfriars Bobby. And Bobby was a wee terrier that its master died, and it went and sat on the grave for the last 14 years of its life.
Oh, wow. Right.
And people used to feed it and look after it, and it was kind of got really famous because, I mean, we think of dogs, don't we, sometimes as being really, really good, kind of faithful friends. So, Greyfriars Bobby, I think a film was made about that. I better move on to people, hadn't we? There's relationships in terms of people, isn't there? Which is really important.
Yeah.
People who are dependable, reliable, trustworthy, people who stand by you, keep their word. Sometimes the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. So sometimes faithfulness, it's standing by people in hard times and being there dependable. Sometimes it's being quite brave.
Yeah.
And doing that. We talk about faithfulness in marriage, don't we? When people commit to marriage, the importance of keeping yourself to each other and making that solemn promise, faithfulness in that regard. Faithfulness, sometimes is a tool that we go back to because we know it's reliable. We say, oh, that's my old faithful hammer or pliers or whatever.
Yeah.
So sometimes objects, we see them as faithful. Sometimes we see institutions as being reliable and faithful. I think some years ago they talk about a water geyser in Yellowstone Park that was called Old Faithful, because it was really reliable, every hour or hour and a half, you know, it would come to life and it would spurt this fountain of water for about a minute and a half. And so it got given this name Old Faithful because it would something you could really depend upon. Hey, but
you've done well. That's very
faithful to a script, faithful to a story.
Yeah.
But of course, God. I mean, come on, we've got to. The Bible speaks a lot about the faithfulness of God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
God is faithful. I think 2 Timothy has that in there when we did that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
God being faithful, reliable, dependent, constant. There, unchanging.
Yeah. No, very
God
good.
Is faithful. Is that good enough?
No, it's amazing. If I had one of Mr. Law's out of date chocolate bars, I'd drop it round to you. That's good. Well, all we should come to prayer. Yeah, would you?
Yes.
And let's kind of move into prayer. Would you pray with us? Let's do that. Yeah.
Let's start with prayer. Mm. Yes. Our Father, we thank you that we can come before you this morning. We thank you for these times when we can pause in the week and intentionally and deliberately come to you. Lord, we're conscious that these times are the opportunity to bring you our worship and our praise, to hear your voice, to understand what you may be saying to us at this time in our lives. And we thank you that your word and your way is practical, that it does apply to everyday life. We thank you that you are the faithful God that, as we have thought, remember how Moses said to the children of Israel, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his commandment of love to thousands of generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." And Lord, we thank you for your covenant love towards us, that you are faithful in your love towards us. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be like that in terms of our relationship to you and the way in which we live our lives in the world round about us. Lord, we come to you today with many thoughts and concerns, but we thank you that we are able to bring these things to you, knowing that you know and understand the circumstances of each one of us this morning as we meet in this way. So, Lord, we pray that you'll be with Guy, particularly as he will bring your message to us later. And we pray, Lord, that we might have open and receptive hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just want to think for a few minutes about change and about faithfulness. I don't know whether how much change you've experienced. I guess the last few months have been very different for all of us. So I want to go back much further than that in thinking about change, and to show you some things that I have here. And this is, you'll need to ask your grandparents about this, but this is a long playing record, an LP, and you have a cover and then the inner sleeve. And then we have this, so I get that I got the right way. And then you've got an album which you play on both sides on a record player. I don't think I've even got a record player left now to play it on. And you know, when I was at school, I used to have a Saturday job, like many people did, and I used to spend the money I got from my Saturday job on three things. One was going to watch Ipswich Town play football. One was to buy fishing equipment and bait to go fishing. And the other thing was to buy music and to buy albums. And these are some ones that I had in my study. This one came out in 1974. This one I got in 1979. Used to be so excited when an album came out, somebody I liked. And then finally I've got this one from the Smiths, which was out in 1984, which was a big double sleeve one, and then the inner sleeve with all the songs on, all the lyrics, all the words on there as well. Lovely, great stuff. And lots of my favorite bands, and somewhere I've got lots of these long playing records, but no means to play them. Sort of at the same time, we used to have a lot of these cassette tapes and music on those. And I couldn't find my cassette tapes. They must be in a box somewhere, but used to have loads and loads and loads and loads of these as well. Not sure I've got anything to play that on either anymore. And then a few years after that, we had these CDs. And I guess most of you have seen the CD. And there we go. The band Scritti Politti, another one of my favourites. And got shelves of these as well. Still can play those. I've got those. But you know what? None of those really are necessary anymore, sadly, although I've got many of them because I now have my mobile phone and I've got all of my songs on iTunes on my phone. And do you know what? I don't even need my phone or having gotten onto my phone because I can do this. Alexa, play The Smiths, This Charming Man.
This Charming Man by The Smiths on Amazon Music.
Alexa, thank you.
Anytime.
Alexa, goodbye.
Toodle pip.
No, Alexa, off. She's too kind. Change, and I guess there'll be more change in the future. Who knows how we will have music as we go on with that. And change even in a short space of time. Things that we once knew and loved and got used to and used to enjoy, those things we can't do anymore. Things are not always reliable, not always dependable. Things can change. Now, today we're thinking about the fruit of the Spirit being faithfulness. And to be faithful means that we are people of our word, that we can be trusted, that people can rely upon us, that we're always there for people, that we're completely dependable. And, you know, that's a really, really important characteristic that we should have. That in that sense, we don't change, that if we say to somebody we're going to do something, we do it. And if we say we're going to be there for them, we're there for them. If we're their friend, we're their friend. If we've arranged to do something, we do it. Even if we might have a better offer or might not want to do it, we're faithful. We do exactly what we've said we're going to do. What we say, our word, is our promise to people, and people can completely depend upon us. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is a gift that God gives to us by Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit also reflects the character, the nature of God, that we behave, we act, we are, as far as we can be, like God is. And the Bible tells us that God is absolutely faithful. If God acted like we often act, it would be awful. But of course, the great news is that God is faithful. God cannot change. God will not change. That which God has promised, he will see through to the very end. And that's the foundation. That's the rock that we build our lives upon. Lots in this world changes. Often that change is for good. Sometimes we change. We're not dependable, and that's not so good. When we don't live how we should live, that's not a good thing. But we know this, that God does not change, and God is completely dependable, and he is the foundation that we can build our lives upon. So we have that assurance and we have that confidence, but in response, we must be ourselves. We must be those who are faithful, those who keep their word, those who are true friends, those who do what we say, go where we say we'll go, be who we said we'd be. That we always come through for people, that we are faithful.
Jesus, you came a servant to do Father's will. Through Satan's worst temptations, you were obedient still.
At this point, let's just catch up with some of the news in the church. You'll receive family news, which has all sorts of information in there. It always starts off with items for prayer. Please do pray for people and for situations that are mentioned there. We think particularly of those who have lost loved ones in recent days. And we think particularly of Belle and her family tomorrow as they meet for a service of thanksgiving for Colin. And there is the opportunity you can see there if you wish to join that service online. Thank you for those who joined us last week for the service for David. And I know those that level of support is very much appreciated. Next Sunday, now that the lockdown has changed, next Sunday the 13th, we're looking to have a service in church again. For those who feel comfortable and would like to worship together in that way, there will be a service on the 13th. So that will be live streamed. So if you want to join the service next Sunday, it will start at 10:30. And do join us. If you don't join us at that point online, then it will be available a little bit later in the day. If you are coming to that service, please do book. You'll see that there's a new phone number for that. Which is the one that we'd ask you to use, please, between Wednesday and Friday, between 10 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock at night. And there will, of course, be the need to be aware of face, space and hands. We'll continue to seek to do things as safely as we can following the regulations. So please, those who want to, come and join us, booking up beforehand. And of course, as with Christmas coming in, one of the things we really want to do is to send a little leaflet, a card to folk particularly who live near the church. I've got a copy of it here. Looks really nice. We're going to try and put that around 1,000 homes. This year, we're a bit down on helpers because of people's circumstances. And if you'd be able to join that team who help distribute those leaflets, that'd be a great help. You'll see in family news, if you just email me, please, the job's about 45 minutes. So it's not really a huge time commitment, but it's really valuable just to get those cards out to people. And we're hoping this year that the nature of the card will be something that they'll want to put on their mantelpiece and perhaps use as a Christmas card and just remind them of God's blessing that's held out to them. Now, thinking about Christmas, we are making our plans, but there'll be other things happening as well. And one of the things that is happening is plans for a special event at Trinity Park. During the past week, Guy caught up with David just to talk about that.
Just as you're here, just really want to say thank you on behalf of, well, certainly me personally and certainly the church as well, for all of your amazing service and ministry in terms of supporting us in these online and in-church services and the work around the DVDs and all the tech work you bring to it. Just stuff couldn't happen without you. Just want to acknowledge that and thank you very much for that. That's it's good of you to be committed in the way you are and faithful in the way you are. So that's great. So thank you for that. Hope that's
thank you. It's nice to be a part of doing something for the family of Bethesda.
Yeah, in these strange times.
Indeed.
Well, all that said, now to come to the main reason for having you on today, which is to talk about the carol service planned for Trinity Park on the 18th. Some watching this will have seen details in family news or maybe have had contact through the various church contact networks that exist in town, but you've been very involved and I thought it'd be just good to hear it from the horse's mouth and perhaps paint a bit of colour in to sort of where it came from and what the plans are and how people get to share in the time. Could you just talk us a bit through that from the start, almost?
Well, a group of us were talking and saying it was sad that there can't be any normal carol service or candlelight services because people either can't come or they can't sing in those events.
Yeah.
And there's nothing open air in the town. And it seems wrong. We really should do something within the rules of COVID to give thanks and to celebrate and rejoice that Christ came to earth for us.
Yeah.
And after some discussions, Mark Jacklin, who most of the people in Bethesda know, went to Trinity Park and negotiated and has managed to acquire Trinity Park on Friday the 18th of December. Will be open at 6 o'clock on that Friday, and people can come and park up, and the Salvation Army will be playing up to 7 o'clock when the main event stroke service starts. And then on the platform there'll be music, singing, hymns, Bible readings, and a 5-10 minute epilogue.
Yeah,
it's obviously important that we know how many are coming, so yep. It's a ticket event. So if you haven't got a ticket, you can't come.
Yep.
Tickets are free. There's two types of tickets. If you've been to the Suffolk Showground, you've seen those wooden bench tables with bench seats attached. Well, Trinity have given us 50 of those to put outside in the front area of the staging. So you can either book a table for your home, family, or your bubble. Or you can choose to come by car, in which case you book a ticket for your car and then park in a particular way and wind the windows down and in total safety can sing heartily and give praise to God.
Yep.
It is free, but please only book a ticket if you're really going to come because we want to make as many people as possible attending. We are looking for contributions in two senses. One, if churches are sending people, we'd be grateful if a donation was made so that it helped to cover the costs of the event. Mm-hmm. But also on the day, there will be collection points where people can give to a fund which will be split 50-50 between Find and EACH, which is the East Anglian Children's Hospice. It's a real time of praise in a dark world where we've got so many complexities. So we feel if we can get as many people from across the churches to support it, to sing heartily, to praise God and to truly give thanks. At Christmas, we are remembering his birth.
Yeah.
And the profound difference he's made in all of our lives.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Guy and David, for that. That sounds a really exciting opportunity, and I'm sure many people want to go and be part of that. At this point, we're going to pray, so I invite you just to join with me in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we want to pray particularly about the ongoing challenge that we have in our country regarding COVID. We know this reaches right across the world. Lord, we pray particularly for those in our nation who have the responsibility of advising and making decisions. Lord, we pray that you will guide them and help them. Lord, we want to give you thanks for the advance made regarding a vaccine. We thank you for the research and development, for the testing and introduction of the vaccine that's taking place at this time. And Lord, we commit to you this program of seeking to safeguard our population against this cruel disease. Lord, we pray that in these coming weeks and months, when perhaps there might be different messages given out at different times, we pray, Lord, that there'll be a good sense of cooperation and understanding, that you'll give wisdom to those who have the responsibility of running this program. And Lord, we want to pray particularly for those who are experiencing hardship and distress because of coronavirus. Lord, we're conscious that there are those who have lost loved ones, even in this past week. Lord, we know there are those who are living with the long-term aspects of COVID. Perhaps they suffered from it some weeks ago, but are still experiencing the long-term effects. Lord, we know that for many, there's loss of employment. There is economic uncertainty. In terms of education, there are great challenges. Lord, there are decisions that people are seeking to make regarding family times over Christmas. Lord, every part of life has been touched by this thing. We pray for those who are really struggling with loneliness and with their thoughts. Lord, we pray that you will draw near in your mercy, that you will help us as a country, and that you'll help us, Lord, to be those who seek to show your love and your concern and compassion towards one another. We thank you for the way in which we were able to be involved with the program with Find. And Lord, we commit that work to you as it continues to reach out to those in need in our community. Lord, we ask for our own church family. We pray particularly for those who have lost loved ones in recent days. And we pray particularly for Belle and her family, that you'll presence yourself with them tomorrow, especially as they come to give thanks for Colin. Lord, we want to pray for Eventide. We thank you for the way in which you have helped the residents, the staff, members of family, the trustees, Lord, everyone involved in that work. We thank you for the way in which we have had that sense of you being very near. And we ask, Lord, that you'll continue to have your hand on Eventide, that you'll give the staff the energy and the enthusiasm that they need, and that they might continue to be kept safe. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that Christmas gives to us. We pray, Lord, for Carols by Starlight, which we heard about just a few moments ago, all the plans and preparations for that. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we will have as a church to have a carol service online, to distribute a greeting around our neighbourhood and to our families and friends. Lord, we pray that you may use these things to remind people of how much you care for them and love them in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do commit to you the work of CYM as they continue to be dedicated to work in schools. We thank you too for the update about a little bit of hope with their strategic work in Uganda. Lord, we pray that you will continue to lead and guide and help these people as they seek to serve you. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill nor name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. Rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone.
Come down to read in God's word, and the passage I'm reading is Psalm 111, and we read together the whole of that psalm. It does speak about all different aspects of God's character and nature, and also the character of faithfulness. So I'll read, and do follow me at home if you're able in your own Bible. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just, and all his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast for ever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Well, we continue in our series from the book of Galatians, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit that we've arrived at today is that of faithfulness. We've mentioned it a number of times already in our family worship. And just want to reflect now upon faithfulness. It's an interesting attribute, characteristic. Perhaps we don't think about it very much, maybe like some of the other fruit as well that we've covered already, not necessarily one which is at the forefront of our minds. And we're going to think about three things in this message now. We're going to think about the nature and the character of God. We're going to think about the way in which that character is seen in the Lord Jesus. And we're going to think, thirdly, about the way in which the fruit is seen in our own lives, where it should be seen, how it should be seen, in very practical terms. You know, fundamentally, this fruit is about us mirroring the very nature and character and the very being of God. And God himself has a character which is unchanging, and that is made known to us in Scripture. And something wonderful happens when we become a Christian, which is that God himself, by means of his Holy Spirit, works in our lives to bring about transformation and change. And so we have this partnership arrangement wherein we are directed, instructed, called to live in a certain way to mirror the nature of God. God himself helps us to do that by his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit, working in partnership with us, sees that fruit manifest in our lives. Well, at least that's how it should be. Of course, sometimes that route doesn't always follow through. Certainly when it comes to us, sometimes we don't play our part in that. We don't let God work. We don't make the necessary changes we have to make to see that fruit in all of its fullness in our lives. But these things that we're called to do ultimately mirror the very nature, the very character of God himself. You know, God, we're told in many places in Scripture, and certainly in this passage in Psalm 111, is faithful. That is what he is. That is who he is. That is his very essence. He is faithful. One of the old time preacher theologians said this: for God to not be faithful would be for God to deny his godness. In other words, God would have to do something to himself that was impossible. He'd have to deny who he was to stop being faithful. God's very being is the very being of faithfulness. That's his nature. That's his character. He can't deny himself in that. And we see that faithfulness worked out through the pages of the Bible, of course. If you've been following with us in our Bible study from the book of Genesis, and we've been working through the early part at the moment of the life of Abraham, as he was renamed by God, we've seen there the way in which Abraham was called by God to believe something unbelievable and extraordinary. But Abraham did that. And he did it because God was faithful to his word. And we've been seeing the ways in which God has been completely faithful to his word, even though in human terms, some of the things that he said he was going to do seem utterly amazing and miraculous. But God promised something, and he was faithful to his promise. That is what he is. And we see other many, many, many other aspects to God's faithfulness as we work through the pages of Scripture. We're thinking at the moment about Advent, about the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world, God's purpose of sending the Lord Jesus to come to this world, to die upon the cross, to save us. God was faithful to his promise to Abraham in Genesis that he would make of Abraham a family of faith that would be so numerous that it would be impossible to count, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. God is faithful. We thought, didn't we, briefly with children and young people about the perversity, if you like, of God denying himself. God who created this earth, what if he were to just give up on it and abandon it? Or God who makes a plan of salvation, the Lord Jesus, to suddenly decide, you know what, I'm not sure I want to go through with that. We're going to do something very different, change all that. Or for God to say, well, I know I promised heaven to those who know and love the Lord Jesus, but you know what, I've had a change of mind. You know, if God was to work like we work and behave like we behave, we would have no foundation to our Christian lives. We'd have no assurance. We'd have no strength. We'd have no rock on which we were standing. But of course, we know that God is not like that. He won't change. He doesn't change. He is absolutely faithful to his word. And that is such an assurance, such a place of confidence for us in our hearts and in our lives. And we see so many examples of God's faithfulness throughout Scripture. So thinking about God's nature, God's character, and it's important because it tells us about who he is. But of course, it's also important because we are then called to live like that, to mirror that character in our own lives as we live our Christian lives for him. God is faithful. He calls us and he will keep us. And on that, we can be absolutely certain. So I thought about the nature, the character of God. Now let's think about faithfulness as it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think about a couple of things. Well, three things here. We touched on Advent already. Let's come back to that. The Lord Jesus was faithful in fulfilling the plan of the Godhead to come to this world, to be born into this fallen world, that he might come and save us. We don't know what was going on, if you like, in the mind of God, thinking about what that experience would be for the Lord Jesus to come. He who is God eternal coming to this world to be born as a baby. It is quite beyond our ability to comprehend or to grasp, but he came because he is faithful. And he came to this world and was born and lived and died and saves us. Absolutely amazing, his faithfulness. You know, just a few hours before Jesus went to the cross, we see him in his heartfelt, emotional prayer to his Father, when he asked almost that if that which was to come, the going to the cross, could be taken away from him. But he goes on to pray, if it's not possible, then what matters is God's will, God's purpose. And the Lord Jesus was faithful to that. Imagine if he hadn't have been. Imagine if he'd bailed out then, given up then, abandoned the plan, been unfaithful to the plan. What an absolute disaster that would have been for humankind. But he was utterly faithful. The passage is going to read towards the very end of Scripture, and we find this in Revelation and chapter 19. It's a dramatic picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorified, risen, majestic Lord Jesus in heaven, in glory, in his kingdom. And these are very powerful words. This is Revelation 19 and reading from verse 11. I saw heaven standing open. And these are the words of the Apostle John writing. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's a very powerful passage. That's a very dramatic passage. It's a very strong passage. And it strikes me as hugely significant and important that the very first description of the Lord Jesus that we have in verse 11 of chapter 19 is this. He is called faithful and true. So our Father is faithful, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, is faithful. And then the call comes to us by his Holy Spirit working in us, bringing about that fruit. We too must be faithful. Now, we had a little quiz question time with Andrew right at the start of our time of family worship, asking examples of faithfulness. And I guess for many of us, if that word is used and we're asked to give an immediate reference or immediate connection, we think of faithfulness within marriage. And of course, that's so critically important for marriages, for individuals, for our society at large. All of us have seen the desperate consequence of unfaithfulness in marriage. And it is devastating to see. And of course, it is so important that we honour the promises that we make to each other when we enter into marriage. But it's not the only place where we are called to be faithful. I'm called to be faithful as a husband. I'm also to be faithful as a father, faithful to my children, faithful to my responsibilities to show and to share and to live out the Lord Jesus Christ for them, to do those things that I'm called on as a father, under God's oversight and God's rule. These aren't optional things that I can take or leave if I fancy them. It's a calling to me to be faithful to the responsibilities that I have in this place. I'm called to be faithful in the ministry and service to which God has called me and equipped me within the family of God, within the church. You know, sometimes that calling is tough, certainly as those who lead churches and who preach. We're often in places and times when we wish we didn't have to be, when there's difficult conversations and we do feel hugely exposed in preaching and so on. And there are times when you think, I'd rather be anywhere but here. But we are called to be faithful. And with God's help and with the help of his Spirit, we can do these things. And we know each time we take that step of faith and serve him as we're called, that actually this is a partnership. That's not just me and my own strength, but God by his Spirit is helping me to live out the calling that he has placed upon my life. I'm faithful in the ministry within the church to which he has called me. I'm faithful too within my responsibilities as an employee. I have a contract. My contract requires me to do things. But beyond that, as we're told elsewhere in the New Testament, you know, I do all things as though I'm living for the Lord Jesus. You know, that's the motivation really for my work. But I am faithful. I'm faithful to my responsibilities. I'm faithful to the promises that I make, the commitments I have, the things that I've promised to do, those things that I'm being relied upon by others. As a Christian, I must be exemplary in being faithful in the responsibilities I have and discharging those responsibilities. I go above and beyond. I do more. I am a model of what it means to be a faithful employee. And within the relationships I have with friends, with neighbours, with people I come in contact with in different settings and situations, that I follow through in the promises that I've made, that I show up when I'm expected and needed to show up, that I walk the extra mile when I need to walk the extra mile, that I do those things to show that the faithfulness of God, the character of God, is being grown, nurtured, nourished, worked out in my own life. I model him in the way that I conduct myself. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, and this faithfulness should be seen in every aspect of our lives.
Well, thank you, Guy. It's really great to hear about the faithfulness of God and how that applies to our lives and how practical and important it is. And I guess really as we come up to Christmas, that's a reminder of God's faithfulness as well, because the coming of Jesus into the world was him delivering on the promise. He was faithful to his word, wasn't
he? Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And we kind of pick that up in the final song we've got from the Squalor. I didn't really want this Sunday to pass without, although we're in the series on the fruit of the Spirit, to pass without actually drawing people into the season of Advent, really, and being intentional about that. I mean, I know from my own experience, the danger of kind of drifting in, it's all busy. It's okay, there will be less busyness this year, won't there? But nonetheless, we suddenly find ourselves kind of in and gone, and it's all gone. And we've never really, as Christians, paused to think about God's faithfulness in that moment.
I mean, people who have started their Advent calendars, some would have lit an Advent calendar, candle this week, yeah, as a reminder, but it can race in, can't it? And one can really forget or just push to the side,
yeah,
the importance of it.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, the message is God's faithfulness, but it's a message of light and life and hope, and those feel particularly resonant and important at the moment as well, I think, in people's hearts. And I think it's good, whether we're intentionally reading passages from Isaiah or from the Gospels, just to really take our own hearts into that place and not just to kind of crash through December and find we're out the other side. And that's kind of, where did that go? We're into 2021 and we've kind of missed preparing our hearts to welcome our Savior again.
I mean, it's the most wonderful thing. I mean, it's what the Bible looks forward to, the coming of Jesus. It's the most significant event in human history.
Yeah.
And from that, the Christian life moves forward from that, and all that God has in store for us in the future. It's so important. It really is an essential component, isn't it, of the Christian faith. So we should get excited. We should engage with it, absolutely. Even if we're familiar with it, we should do it again.
Yeah.
So are we going to have this song now?
Yeah, I think we should. And having set it up, I think it's good. Yeah, probably our first Advent song of Advent. And let's reflect upon the coming of our Saviour into an extraordinary situation.
The squalor of a borrowed stable, by the Spirit and a virgin's faith, to the anguish and the shame of scandal, came the Savior of the human race. But the skies were filled with the praise of him. Shepherds listen as the angels tell of the gift of God come down to man at the dawning of Emmanuel. King of heaven, now the friend of sinners, humble servant in the Father's hands, filled with power and the Holy Spirit, filled with mercy for the broken man. Yes, he walked my road and he felt my pain, joys and sorrows that I know so well. Yet his righteous steps give me hope again. I will follow my Emmanuel. Through the kisses of a friend's betrayal. He was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost. He fights for breath, he fights for me, loosing sinners from the claims of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free, death defeated by Emmanuel. Now he's standing in the place of honor, crowned with glory on the highest throne, interceding for his own beloved, till his Father calls to bring them home. Then the skies will part as the trumpet sounds, hope of heaven or the fear of hell. But the bride will run to her lover's arms, giving glory to Emmanuel. Yes, the skies will part as the trumpet sounds, hope of heaven or the fear of hell. But the bride will run to her lover's arms, giving glory to Emmanuel.
So, with confidence, we go into the days ahead, trusting in God, who is faithful in his love and in his commitment and in his strength and present towards us. We thank you, Lord, that you will not abandon us, but that you will be with us in every circumstance that we face. So we pray that you'll help us to live for you in those places. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.